If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 1, a familiar text that you're familiar with, I'm sure. Boy, it's good to be here. If you're online, wake up. Let me say it again. Online people, wake up and share this service. And I want to preach this morning on something that moves me. You know, if you've been to a place and today marks 46 years, I'm ending 46 years today. If I live till next Sunday, I'll start my 47th year. And I want to preach to you on what I'm about and what God's all about. I'm going to be kind of transparent this morning. I want to give you my heart, what motivates me, what gets me up in the morning, what still thrills me. There's a lot of preachers in the pulpit today that are in it for the wrong reason. I'm glad I'm here this morning because I'm still thrilled. Amen. I tell you, as the girls were singing, it's still real today. Amen. Romans chapter number 1, today's message. We're going to dive into the mind and heart of a man that was totally abandoned to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul this morning. Many have said that he was probably the greatest Christian that ever lived and the greatest preacher that ever lived. I myself believe that. And I want you to look at three verses, if you would, that delves into the heart and the mind of this brother. And it's these three verses that has been the foundation of John Smith. It is what I'm all about this morning. I still have a heart for people, a heart for the gospel. And this morning, I'm going to give you my heart. Paul said in verse number 14, if you're there, say amen. Amen. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am, hallelujah, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus or of gospel of Christ. Amen. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Apostle Paul introduces us, Brother Denny, to three I ams. He makes this statement. He said, I am debtor. He makes the second statement, I am ready. He makes the third statement, I am not ashamed. I think these three statements were what motivated this great man of God to go on three missionary journeys, to establish churches and all over the world. And do you know, when he was done with his short ministry, just a few years of ministry, every major city in the Western Hemisphere had a gospel church in it because of the work of this man of God who was totally abandoned to the gospel. No wonder he said, be ye followers of me, even as I am followers of Christ. And when he met the Lord on the road of Damascus, what a great salvation experience he had. I didn't have a road of Damascus experience, but I did have one. Somebody say amen. How many remember you when you was on that road, when you were blinded? And here's what Paul asked the Lord. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" I remember when I was just a young old boy who didn't know much about the Word of God. I didn't even know who Zacchaeus was that climbed up the sycamore tree. But I am glad that I asked him, "Who are you? I want to know about you. I want you to know me, and I want you to teach me your truths." And then he said, "What would you have me to do?" Thank God. Every one of us ought to ask this morning. Who are you, Lord? And what would you have me to do? I never knew that God was going to use me the way he has. I didn't know that I would preach all over the world and through most of the states of the United States. I didn't know that. I didn't know I'd start out in a little broken down church that didn't even have bathrooms. And Lois Dale, the first year I was there, I put the whole church to sleep, and I thought it was because of my preaching. It wasn't. It was because they had a leaky gas stove. I tell you what, hey kids, you'd be in bad shape. You know what? Where I started out when they had outside bathrooms in a little wooden shack. You said, "I wouldn't go to a church like that." Well, I pastored one. Amen. Hey, when we put bathrooms in, first project we ever done was put bathrooms in a Sunday school class. They called me a liberal for being modern. Hello. I didn't know that it was going to lead me from there then to a little church up in Rome County. And I to this day wondered why I was there. But while I was there, some people that split the church years before came back and burnt the whole thing down. I helped rebuild that church. I didn't know why. I didn't know why I was taken down to Charleston, West Virginia, to a little church where they hated everybody and fought every day of the week. And I had some members there that looked like they was crazy. No, they were crazy. I didn't know why, but I know now that God had a marvelous purpose. Paul had a marvelous purpose, and that was to preach the gospel wherever, whenever, to whoever, that God can do a marvelous work. Amen. Let me give you three things and I'll be done. I want you to notice the outline. I'll just go verse by verse. First of all, Paul said, "I'm faithful to the obligations of the gospel." He makes this statement, "I am debtor." This tells us that Paul was faithful. Paul saw himself as a debtor. In Romans 1:1, he said, "I'm a servant," or bondservant. What a bondservant was, it was a servant that was set free and paid for, but in return, they voluntarily went out and served God. I want you to know something. I'm serving God not because I have to. I'm serving God this morning, and you should be serving God this morning because you want to. And because you're a debtor. I'm a debtor. Salvation has freed us because Jesus paid it all. But we're debtors to the one that hung upon the cross of Calvary. We couldn't pay for our salvation. We could not purchase our salvation. So this morning, we're debtors to him that died, who was buried and rose again. Do you feel like a debtor this morning? Or do you feel like God owes you something? God don't owe me anything. I should be in hell this morning, but I'm a debtor. Amen. We're also debtors to the heroes of the past. Amen. Paul was there when they stoned Stephen, he was even had his clothes. It was Paul that stoned Stephen. He was a debtor to Stephen. He was also a debtor to all the Old Testament prophets that were stoned and massacred for the cause of Christ. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a debtor to some of those that have went before us. I'm a debtor to John Wesley. I'm a debtor to Charles Spurgeon. I'm a debtor to every martyr in our Baptist faith. Some of y'all don't understand this morning, but I'll give it to you. Our Baptist faith was bought in blood. We have many of the great Baptist preachers of the past that were buried in rivers and drowned, was burned at the stake. I remember when I was in Switzerland and went to a lot of the old churches, and I was introduced to four or five places where they drowned brothers in Christ. I was introduced to a place where a man was burnt to the stake right in front of his wife, and all he had to do is recant his salvation. And his wife said, "I will not recant. I will not recant." And as he was in flames, he said, "I will not recant. I will not recant." I'll say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I am a debtor to those that have went on before me. I'm a debtor to every pastor that's pastor this church. I'm a debtor to every great man of God. I'm a debtor to Lee Robertson. I'm a debtor to Billy Sunday. I'm a debtor to D.L. Moody. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel that in my heart. I must go on. I must go on. And if you're a young preacher, you're in debt, and you must go on. You must keep preaching the gospel. Amen. Am I preaching? Oh, but here's the key. I'm a debtor to all of you and to everyone in my community and everyone in my state. Here's what Paul said. I'm a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the cultured and the non-cultured. I'm a debtor to those that are up and out and those that are down and out. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to be real transparent. There's churches in this area and churches all around. You know who they want in their church? You know who they want in their church? They want the rich and the affluent. Now, by the way, I want you too. But that's not all I want. Amen. I want the poor, yes, and the broken. Amen. Right. And those that may be up in life and those that are down and out. Amen. You know why a lot of people come to Tate Valley Baptist Church? Because they know where I came from. They knew I was born in Chandler's Branch into a poor place. We had holes in our floors at our house. Rats would come up under and through them. My mama made a special quilt for me because there was hardly no heat when I was raised. I know what it means to be poor. I know what it means to have your last meal. I can relate this morning. I'm a debtor to people. Somebody help me preach. I'm a debtor to the educated and the ignorant, to the rich and the poor. How many of you agree with me this morning? Everybody needs Jesus. A few years ago, there's a boy came into church, and he was a dope addict. He was bold enough to show me, Jeff, where he had shot up. He said, "I bet you don't want anybody like me here, do you? I want you to know outside the grace of God, I could have been there." That's right. Amen. whether you're a drunkard, whether you're hooked on some cultural problem this morning, I am a debtor to you, and Jesus Christ is real this morning, and I'm preaching a gospel this morning that will change your life. Outside the grace of God, we'll all be burning in hell this morning. Number two, not only, then secondly, he was flexible for the opportunity of the gospel. Look at verse 15. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Amen. He was faithful and he was flexible. We need to understand that we're debtors, and a result, we must be ready. Obviously, Paul was ready to live for Christ. My Bible said to live as Christ is gain, or to live as Christ, but to die is gain. Hey, our witness is a part of the evidence that God saved us. We must be ready to live, and we must be ready to die. Paul was. Now, I don't have a martyr system complex, but I'm not afraid to die. And I just soon die on the battlefield. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I'm abandoned to the gospel. I'm ready to preach. You see, you're 73 years old. You ain't ready for nothing but a retirement home. Well, you don't know me very well, do you, rascal? I may look old. I got gray hair, and my teeth are starting to fall out. But I'm ready. The last month, some of these young codgers couldn't keep up with me. I've been in revival. Last week I was under a tent. Two saved people were saved. Went down to Knoxville and preached, going to do a wedding and preached on Wednesday night. Guy got saved. You say, why? I'm ready. I'm ready to preach. After 46 years, little scale. I'm as ready as I was when I was 27. Woo! But when I used to play football, I got ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? You young people ready to preach the gospel? You young people ready to be a witness? You young people ready to carry the gospel? Be ready!
Amen.
Woo! Oh, man. You're older than I am. Y'all ready? This church ought to be ready. We're on the brink of something great. This place is full in the summer. Hey, we're on the brink of something great. We're building buildings. I don't understand, but we are building buildings. We're reaching people. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready to do what? Preach. Preach. Some young folks, has God been dealing with you about preaching? You know what you ought to do? This morning, get up on this altar and surrender. You say, well, I'm not old enough. Who told you that? They're a bunch of liars. Hey, if you're ready and God's dealing with you, get out of your seat this morning, surrender, and say, I'm going to preach. Amen. He said, I'm ready to go. But listen to this. He said, I'm ready to stay. You know, it's something to go be an evangelist, go all over the country. But it's another thing to be ready to stay. I think y'all could compliment me over something this morning. I've stayed the course. Not without battles, not without trouble, not without heartache. I've just stayed. Amen. You know, I stayed. God told me this is where he planted me for life. And I just stayed. I stayed the first year I was here, when that was the craziest bunch I ever pastored in my life. And I'm staying now. You say, why are you staying? Why haven't you jumped around? You think I haven't all had an opportunity to move? Years ago, I'll tell you this story. church in around Atlanta, a Southern Baptist church that was running at that time over 1,000 people. And I was just a young preacher. And I don't know if a lot of y'all know this, this church was a Southern Baptist chapel before they pulled out. And that's why the Southern Baptist was interested. They came up to the church and heard me preach. The church didn't even know it. They offered me a salary that was 10 times what I was making at the time. You say, why didn't you go? Well, first of all, I'm not a Southern Baptist. And I ain't going to be. But that ain't why I didn't go. I came here to be your preacher. And we started with a little 80 people. And then it grew. Then it grew. Then it grew. And it is what it is today. You know why? I stayed. I stayed when people, I'll tell you a story. This is not a funny story, Lois. I'm sure your dad could tell it. I was a young preacher. And I wouldn't do this to anybody. But it was done to me. It was when I was in a little trailer sitting right up there. I got a call from a disgruntled church member, a lady, who got a hold of me and ripped me. I've never been ripped so bad. She called me everything that she could call me. And then somebody knocked on the door and peeked in. He was one of the members. He said, you've been on the phone. And it's back when the phones, you know how they were then. They didn't have call waiting and stuff. So you've been on the phone. And I just got a call to my house. Your dad's died. And I said, man, can we do this later? My dad's dying. You know what she said to me? I don't care if he's dying or not, you're going to hear me out. So how could you pastor under such circumstances? Because my heart wasn't her. My heart was from God. I want you to know something. I'm still ready. I'm still ready. I'm still going, despite some ugly tongue, in spite of some nefarious person that tries to bring you down. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to do a great work for God. Lastly, and I'm done, this is the most important part. Number three, I'm ready and fearless at the opposition to the gospel. Look what it said in verse 16. He said, I'm deader. I'm ready. Kids, look at me. You're going to be faced with this. I'm not ashamed. Kids, they can't forbid you to take your Bible in your pocketbook, girls. Boys, they can't forbid you to take your Bible to your Christian, to your school and put, hey, they can't forbid you to do that. It'll take guts for you to take a Bible to school. It'll take guts for you to take a Bible to work. Somebody help me preach. We ought not to be ashamed of the gospel. Four things, and I'll give them to you, and I'm done. Number one, we ought not be ashamed of the person of the gospel, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Who's it all about this morning? It's about Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Oh, in this woke, wicked society, they'll have Muslims come to the White House. They'll have Buddhists come to the White House and pray. But they won't have no Christian come to the White House. Because we ain't allowed to say in Jesus' name. But I want you to know that's the only name whereby you can be saved. That's the only name you can call on to get your prayers answered. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Number two. Y'all with me, Jeff? Am I preaching? Number two, he's not ashamed of the purpose of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You know what thrills my soul? I've seen folks get saved in this church that people had given up on. One of my dear friends, and she was crazy. She was crazy. How many remember Lynn Rigsby? She's crazy. How many know her? How many all agree with me? Vote. She's crazy. I want you to know something. I met her. Her and her mom came. They went to a Presbyterian church. You heard of the dead in Christ rise first? Yeah. She went to a Presbyterian church and brought her husband. He was 6'7". Arlie Rigsby. Ladies and gentlemen, he sat in this church or up there for 26 weeks. And he wouldn't get saved. You see what happened? There was one day, whoop, the gospel got to old Arlie. He come and got saved. I baptized him. Hey, I had to set him down to baptize him. 6'7". And then we had a guy named Tom Roberts, ex-Hell's Angel biker. He's probably listening this morning from Maryland. He was a refugee from the chain gang. You said, what happened to him? He got saved. And one after another, what's the purpose of the gospel? To get people saved. If you're here this morning, that's what God wants from you, salvation. He wants to give you salvation. Number three, I'm not ashamed. Lois, you go ahead to the piano, please, of the power of the gospel. How many of you believe it's powerful? I remember, how many in this room can remember when you got saved? Raise your hand high, maybe two hands. And you probably thought, I can't be forgiven. I can't be saved. But God's gospel is powerful. It came from a Greek word, dynamos or dynamite. It'll blow the shackles of your sin off of you. I'm not ashamed of it. And then lastly, this is the good part. I'm not ashamed of the plan of the gospel to everyone that believeth. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe God said I chose you, but I didn't choose you. I believe everybody in this room can be saved. To everyone that believeth, one condition, trust Christ. Listen, look at me this morning. Have you ever received Christ? Have you? Bow your head with me. If you're a young man or young woman, I'm going to start with the saved. And you say, preacher, I believe God's called me to the mission field, ladies, or to preach the gospel. Is there any young person or older person feel like God's calling you to preach? You haven't announced it yet, but God's calling you. And you've been scared, but God's calling you. But this morning, you're ready. How many of you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Any of you young people feel the tug of preaching? Just slip it up. I see your hand, son. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I feel the tug. Just slip up your hand. I see your hand, son. God bless you. Anyone else? Any young person that just, maybe you feel like you need to go to the mission field. You're a young lady. You want to go to mission field. You slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Here's what I want to ask you. Young man, why would you wait? Why would you wait? You say, well, I'm young. Right now, we can take you, we can help you, we can mold you, we can mentor you. And I believe God can do a great work for you. So I want you to come in a moment. Get courage and say, hey, I'm called to preach and I'm coming. Then I want to ask, how many right now say, Preacher Smith, I'm not saved, or I don't know for sure I'm saved. But you said the gospel's for everyone. And I want you to pray for me. Is there somebody in this room not saved? Just raise your hand and say, pray for me. She said, but I'm not a Christian, but I need to be. God bless that hand. Anybody else? Come on. Preacher, I need to be saved. Just pray for me. I want you to stand with me right now. I'm going to pray. I want them two young men. I'm praying this morning. I'm not pressuring you. I'm just saying, if you got that on your heart, you need to, God's got a plan for your life. You ought to come up here in a moment and tell him and surrender to him. Our Father, I pray right now for young men that's thinking about being a preacher. They feel a tug. And then, Lord, I want to pray for the sinner. Then I'm praying for the church of the whole. God, make us ready. Make us feel like debtors to this whole community. And Lord, that this whole community needs the gospel. Maybe there'll be Christians that come this morning and say, you know, I want to help be a partner in reaching this world with the gospel. God, help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.